This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we've been looking at all of Antoinette's questions during the break here. And we found some answers for you, Antoinette, if you're still listening or watching us on the YouTubes.
Number one, with the drive, it may that USB drive, it may be failing.
Right, and
in that case, you're not going to fix it.
Nope.
Number two, there may be an option in Windows Explorer where you can right-click on the drive in this PC or my computer or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And in the properties, there may be an option to turn off write protection.
Right. Might have been inadvertently turned on.
Right. And if it's there, then turn it off, see what you get. And if you don't see that option at all, it may not be there.
Right.
Then I don't know what else you can do than replace it.
Yeah.
As for your off snap problem with the video,
that's a big problem.
I think it's a huge problem. It's all over the internet. It's like a rash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It probably is a memory leak in Chrome on that computer.
Right.
In that case, there are some settings that you can change in Chrome that might help, but they may not.
Right.
So my recommendation and Eric's is use a different browser for that particular thing. And we're recommending Firefox for that because it uses a completely different rendering engine than Chrome or its relatives, like, you know, Brave and Edge.
Yeah.
Because those are all based on the same Chromium engine.
Yep.
Firefox is its own thing. So I would go there and use it just for that.
So we can put some links up there, too, as far as the information on how to try some of those Chrome. But there's so many options and so many recommendations from getting rid of extensions to clearing your cache. And she said she did some of that, like she probably some of that work.
I would think so. And that's why I'm just saying, you know, that's probably a lost cause already.
Use Firefox.
Just go to Firefox.
You'll get a different error if it happens again. It won't say snap because that's a Chrome error.
It might actually have an informative error that tells you something.
Yeah.
And But if that happens, give us a call. We'll help you with that.
But again, trying to do it yourself, it's also a cool thing. But I have a story for about a client that we came across this Friday, where I was talking to one of our techs, and we were looking at the client's firewall. And we're like, wait a minute, this client has a different firewall than we know to have, which is fine. Clients can do what they want. This client put in his own firewall. Because, of course, when we quote the firewall, we include security technologies. And, of course, our price would be higher if the security technologies are there versus what he ended up doing. So he ended up putting in his own firewall with no security and basically would have had the most egregious vulnerabilities left wide open because of how he set it up himself. Not that you can't do that, right? You know, there's lots of information out there as far as how you can do it yourself. And we encourage that. And we want you to understand how you deal with your own network. But there's also a lot of stuff you don't know. And there's lots of risk out there, especially with firewalls, that just sticking your own firewall in there and turning it on is definitely risky these days. You don't have the protections you think you have. And all of these firewalls have massive vulnerabilities that need to be mitigated. So when we saw that, we're like, what is going on with this? Because the only reason we know is because his internet went down. And so we're trying to support it and take a look at it. And we're like, wait a minute. The firewall we're connecting to is not the firewall we're expecting.
Right.
And so all I'm saying is sometimes it does require somebody with some knowledge in doing some of these things. And like I said, I can't change my own oil. So I have a professional do it. Could I change my own oil? Sure, but I got a feeling I would have an engine seize on me because I wouldn't put the filter in right or something like that. I'm serious, right? So you make your right choice. You make your professional choices the way you like. There's plenty of stuff for us to do, so we're not worried about running out of things to do when it comes to IT. But we are worried when people do this kind of stuff. And then, of course, they have an issue, and they're looking at us. We're like, well, wait a minute. We didn't put that firewall in. You did. And so keep that in mind when you're doing some of this stuff. It's not always a DIY project. In other news, as we wait for your calls, 860-522-9842 is the number. So this is not surprising to me. Americans would rather have a nuclear power plant in their backyard than a data center. Uh-oh. Hello? I'm getting this in my earphones. Oh, there we go. Americans would rather have a nuclear power plant in their backyard than a data center.
Okay.
So the Gallup survey, it says Gallup, found more than 70% of respondents indicated they would be against the construction of an AI data center in the neighborhood, with almost half, 48%, saying they were strongly opposed. Only 27% were in favor. And so that there's basically a kind of a groundswell occurring when it comes to love or hate for data centers. And we've had discussions about data centers here as far as the possibility that they're going to impact our electric bills. And again, if these companies, if this is such a great idea, we shouldn't be covering the cost.
Correct.
No subsidization. We already have enough subsidies that we cover these businesses with. Nobody's subsidizing TAB. Nobody cares if we run. Nope. These trillion-dollar companies want to put in data centers. I'm all for it if you're going to give us some benefit aside from cat videos on YouTube. And
cat videos.
But they're AI generated. Right. Yeah, right? They're playing volleyball.
Yeah.
So this is a thing, right? So it's not just because of shows like ours that are just bringing up some of the drawbacks. I mean, we're geeks. We want technology to serve us well. We are not anti-technology, of course.
Not at all.
But we just keep seeing these data centers, and they get the fact that we had a story a while back where all these Kerberos systems were sitting there 95% unused. They built it, but nobody came to use it. So what's going on here in this industry whereby you're wanting us to subsidize it? We had a story just last week too. Greg came on there from Good Jobs First, mm-hmm. talking about states that are not even used gap accounting to make sure they don't tell you as a taxpayer how much it's costing you
right.
for the subsidies they're giving the data centers, billions in the case of the states that are actually reporting it. And you shouldn't be surprised that there's a pushback where Americans are like, you know what, I don't want a data center in my backyard. And technically, you can put it anywhere as long as there's enough connectivity to power.
Yeah.
I guess you could build a solar panels or something like that. But of course, there's not enough power to run a data center. You're going to end up with a bunch of diesel generators to keep it going because it gets cloudy every now and again.
Right. Or you'll have a big battery complex mm-hmm. To hold the power during the day or to gather the power during the day and then run the center at night.
So shouldn't be a surprise. And so these data centers have a little bit of public relations to do. And I would recommend that you come in and you show us how you're going to save us money, make us money. Improve the community, improve our electricity lines. We already have issues here in Connecticut where we're looking at billions in repairing lines for storms that we didn't even pay for already.
That's another problem, right?
So having a data center, I don't know. We'll put the link up here to the story. You shouldn't be surprised. We're going to go to your calls, and we're going to see what Betty's got cooking out there. Hey, Betty.
I have nothing cooking. I'm the one who's trying to download photos, so I'm really a dinosaur. Quick question.
Yeah.
Quick question. It's about an AM radio in a heavily computerized car that I have, and I like to listen to 1080 and other AM stations.
Yeah.
But this other station, I won't mention the call numbers, it gets interfered with.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting. It's always during a very wonderful dialogue. That suddenly you can't, and I'm wondering if it's the 5G stuff that's going all over the place.
No, it's the AM signal and how powerful the signal is. I mean, whatever station you're listening to, if you think about 1080, it's a 50,000 watt flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And from the what I understand about AM radio and AM signals, we put up these big antennas, which technically mm-hmm. isn't even the right thing to do. They should have put the signal like in a low spot, from what I understand, but it reaches crazy distances. And if you don't have mm-hmm. enough wattage, if you're listening to a station that doesn't have wattage, you can actually be interfered with, you know, just buzzing from, like, I've seen stoplights, right? You can see mm-hmm. a buzzing stoplight causes interference mm-hmm. with your AM signal. It's not 5G.
Okay. Yeah, it's not even the same wavelength.
No.
5G is vastly higher wavelength than AM radio.
Yeah. So what you need to do is get the app for the AM radio in your highly computerized car, right?
And stream it over the internet.
What'd you say?
I'm trying to stay away from it. Is there any, well, this might, you know everything, you know, so.
No, we don't.
Is there some kind of adapter or something, something simple that I can plug into my, without going onto Cyrus or something from like Best Buy or something? Is there something that I can enhance, like my, I can't be driving around with a humongous antenna.
Well, that's what I was going to go with. You got to strap, that's what we used to do in the old days, right? We would stick these monstrous antennas on our cars. I remember them when I did it on my mom's Chevy Nova, and that thing was like seven feet. I mean, it was a big antenna whacking around out there. It had a big spring on it so it could handle going under things.
I remember my father's Volkswagen Beetle had a giant whip antenna yeah. on the back of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that thing would flop all over the place.
So, yeah. So Betty, I mean, do you have Android Auto or CarPlay?
Well, I'm talking right now on Android.
Okay. Right. Does your car have the ability to interface with Android Auto?
Yes, but I don't want all that, you know. Here's the thing. I hear what you're saying. I should probably plug in my phone into the car.
You should.
I don't want to, though. Because I don't want my car to know when I have my phone.
Okay, well,
I still have the dial-up.
That's okay. Well, the car knowing when your phone, I mean, your car is being tracked, too. Depending on how young your car is, the manufacturer knows where your car is. And we've had stories about that issue as well, where there's hackers that are actually able to log into your car and open the locks and all that fun stuff. So, okay, I'm going to tell you to embrace the tech. So here's the thing. If you actually loaded the app, now you're going to mm-hmm. use data. So you need to have unlimited data on your cell service.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that?
Yes.
Okay, so you got all the tools there, Betty. Mm. Get this configured. Download the app, the Odyssey app or whatever app you'd like. The Odyssey app is great. And you will then not have any kind of interference issues. You'll only have data issues if you're not
I'll
getting
get
a good signal. Yeah, so you're...
This could take me a year to do, but
no,
I will get back to you.
It's easy, Betty. It's so easy. Get the Android Auto interface going. Now you got Waze going and showing up on your screen. You're able to know where you're going. Now you're going to have frustrations with Bluetooth. Right? You are going to have frustrations.
No matter what happens in this endeavor, I think you guys are top-notch.
Well, thanks. Thanks. But you could hear us anywhere. Imagine if you wanted to listen to us anywhere, you could do it with the app. Right? Mm. So mm-hmm. no more transistors and all that.
I heard some very wonderful guys, though, say the more apps you have in your cell phone, the more your cell phone is able to be hacked.
Well, that's true. So you just don't want to download a bunch of junk, right? So like I warn people about it with my kids, right? They're downloading all sorts of games and there's all sorts of apps out there. But I'll tell you right now, Odyssey's not going to hack you.
I know.
So,
God bless you guys. You are awesome again.
Thanks,
and I will try this. And you make me smile all the time on a Saturday morning.
Well, that's our pleasure. I'm glad we did.
And you know what? If you could do this, play that funny, funny thing again where someone's trying to teach their grandfather how to use the computer. And he's saying, what's this pedal for? It was a mouse.
Oh,
didn't you do that
probably
a year ago?
I'd have to find it.
It was so cute.
Because
we're all there, really, except you two.
We're there, too. We're there, too. But
all right.
Get to the apps, Betty, all right?
All right. Thank you so very much.
You got it. So we'll talk about it more. We'll take a quick break. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. With the whole thing with the government, they're saying they're going to try to force AM radio to stay in your car,
right?
Which is a good thing because eventually you need that signal.
Well, that AM signal that was a problem for her can actually be beneficial in under certain conditions.
Computer Talk with Tab. And if you're listening to us on the app, you won't have any interference. So check out the Odyssey app. It's a great way. But I was talking about Bluetooth. Like on my car, my phone sometimes decides not to connect. So if I have to go somewhere, I got my Android Auto ready to rock, right? And you're sitting there, I'm a GPS zombie. I have no idea where I'm going without GPS anymore. I mean, no direction at all. I don't know, up, down, left, right. Even if I'm going, you know, to something, a place I've gone over and over again, I don't even want to think about it. My brain says, eh, you don't need to. The GPS is going to tell you. So I'm sitting there waiting for my silly phone to connect to the Bluetooth so that the Android auto pops up and tells me where to go. I mean, how silly is that? I'm sitting there in a car trying to figure out where the heck I'm going. Do I take a right or a left? I don't know.
I can raise you one better. I had a rental car for work.
Yeah.
And I had issues connecting. Mind you, I'm out of state. So you want to talk about I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. You've got an excuse.
And I'm staring at my phone like, okay, well, you got to connect because I want to go home.
Exactly. So we don't have maps anymore. I mean, so it's the same thing. So that's the only drawback of these apps and these technologies is that sometimes your Bluetooth just doesn't want to talk to your car for whatever reason. And you can't reboot your car. So you got to turn on and off the Bluetooth and then it tends to work. But it is frustrating in the year 2026. The phone I have is rather current. The car I have is rather current. And it's still having these issues. And it's just annoying.
Well, yeah. And I constantly have to keep telling our customers the same thing. Wireless technology is wonderful.
Right.
It is not reliable.
Right.
Yeah. So it's all well and good that you want to have a wireless printer at your desk or something like that.
Right.
Not the best idea, unfortunately. Wired I'm sorry to break it to you, but yeah, wired is always better. Wired is always reliable.
So especially the voice over IP and the technology there, with all the you have to make sure you prioritize those packets within the network itself.
You have to turn off SIP ALG in your router.
Yeah, because it's going that'll cause issues. You have to watch out for deep packet inspection as the firewall is taking a look at those IP packets and wondering what they are. They're just voice packets. Leave me alone. They check them all, right? And it causes issues. So it can be this technology is great until it's not. It's a lot of Rube Goldberg to get from point A to point B. Let's go to. We're going to break soon again. We're going to get. Yeah, we did take some time with Betty. We're going to. David, hang on a second. Okay, so hang on the line. We'll get to your calls after the break at the top of the hour news. Three lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. And you can subscribe to our podcast through the Odyssey app or through Spotify or through Apple. We're not going to sell you anything, and we never do. But if you want to catch the show, no matter where you are, it's a great way to do it. And, of course, you can watch us on YouTube or Facebook. You can subscribe to those things as well and catch the show that way if you'd like. So we're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. David, hang on. Three lines open for you. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works by Dennis while we're on the show. And of course, we're also posting on Facebook as well for you. If you're part of the Computer Talk with Tab listener network, if you want to be a part of it, just ask. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. So we'll be right back after this break. I don't know. What Broadway show is this from? Is it really?
What?
Thanks, Morgan. We appreciate that. There we go. There it is. There it is. Valley of the Dolls. Thank you, Morgan. So we are here to help you out on graduation day, although UConn's graduation was a week earlier. I was there. Of course, what did it do? It rained, as it always does. All the graduations I've ever been to at UConn, except for my own, it rained.
Well, mine was in Jorgensen Auditorium.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. That's very plush.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It was. I was sitting in Gamble when it was new.
Oh. Well, when I was there, there was no Gamble.
No.
We had a field house.
Yes, you did. Let's go to David and Seymour next and see what he's got going on. Hey, David.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Question for you. I have an annoying pop-up that comes up every time I boot up the laptop.
Every time.
Every time I boot up. Wants to sign in with Dropbox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I can help you with that.
Good.
What you're going to do is hit Control-Delete.
Okay.
You're going to run Task Manager.
Task Manager?
Yep.
And you can hear Dennis, right? You can hear him clearly?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Okay. We're just making sure because we had reports.
Yep. So he's in Task Manager.
And then you're going to open up the tab for startup tasks.
Yeah, because believe it or not, you asked for this. Dropbox is like,
the
hey.
Tab that says startup, huh?
Yep.
Okay. And where it says Dropbox?
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to right-click on that and click disable.
Okay. It says disabled.
All right, you're done.
You're all done.
Congratulations.
Very good.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right.
I'll hit you with a comment.
Yeah.
I listened to you. Somebody just called about listening on an AM radio. I listen to you guys via my cell phone on my car radio because the reception is poor wherever I am here.
Yeah.
But within the last month, there's public service announcements in Spanish on an English-speaking radio station that I just don't understand.
Yeah, I brought that up to them as well. There's a lot of Spanish apps on Spanish, and I don't know what they're saying, obviously, because I don't speak Spanish. Yeah, I have noticed that as well on the app, but they're aware of it. I'm not sure how the algorithm works or what. Maybe when you signed up, you said you were Spanish. When you, maybe I did the same thing because that's what they told me. They're like, maybe they think you're Spanish, Eric. I don't know.
If I do use the radio, it seemed to come over the radio as well, and it always I don't speak Spanish either, but it mimics a public service announcement about don't text and drive.
Oh yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, so that's basically they give it to you in the English and the Spanish. That's a normal
that's
PSA.
That's a mixed ad.
It's a mixed ad because there are lots of folks that do speak Spanish in Connecticut, and they need to know not to text and drive. And if you got to tell them in Spanish, that's fine by me.
But do they listen to a talk show in English?
Well, sure. Yeah. And that's a great way to learn English, too.
They may have also made one commercial that is then broadcast on all stations in Connecticut, both Spanish and English. That way it saves the modal time.
I don't care if they use sign language to tell everybody to stop texting and driving. Whatever they can do, that would be a good idea.
Sounds good, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your help.
You got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But on the app, I have heard a lot of Spanish ads. I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm not going to buy whatever you're saying because I don't understand what you're saying. All of a sudden, the phone lines went cuckoo. You guys are all waking up.
It's 10:30.
I know. Something about 10:30. Let's go on to Ed in Wallingford. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
This is my problem.
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, my laptop decided it doesn't like my printer.
Yeah.
So I can print fine if I do it from my phone. If I go to print an item from my laptop, I have to restart my computer and then it will print.
It's losing it. It's losing the IP address. Is your printer wireless?
Yes.
Yeah. The problem is that the printer is getting a new IP address from your firewall, most likely, and you need to set it statically so that the computer knows where it is. It's changing on it. And so what you got to do is you need to go into your DHCP settings of your firewall. It's going to make your hair hurt a little bit, Ed. And when you go into those DHCP settings, you're going to say, give out IP addresses to my devices starting at 192.168.1.25, let's say. So 25 and up is what it'll hand out dynamic IP addresses, meaning you have 25 now IP addresses below that you could set statically that won't interfere with anything as long as you don't set the same static address at the same to multiple devices. You got to be smart about that.
The other thing that he could do,
yes, sir,
is set a DHCP reservation in the router for that printer so that it always gets the same IP address from it.
That's true, too.
That might
be still in DHCP. You're messing
right
with it.
It's still the printer itself remains DHCP, but then it just always gets the same IP.
Yeah. So there's two ways to do this. So we'll put some information out there for you, Ed, to try to follow. But that's what's happening.
Great.
Yeah.
If you could put something on your website, because what you just told me is like me trying to perform heart surgery.
Come on. Yeah. It's not too hard, but I hear you. But that's what's going on. It's a common issue. Or how close is the printer from your computer? Is it within 6 feet?
Oh, yeah. It's about 3-4 feet. 4 feet, maybe.
Then get a cable and don't
USB
be wireless.
USB cable, yeah.
It'll never...
Really?
Yeah, it'll always work then, I guarantee you.
Yeah. No problem.
Now, would I just plug that into a USB on my computer?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That might be the better solution here.
So I could save whatever hair I have left.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because USB is always, remember I said wired is always more reliable? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's an example.
Okay. Well, I have plenty of USB cables. I think I'm going to try that this afternoon.
But
there we go.
It has to be a special printer cable. So it's going to have a weird kind of connection on the printer side. It won't just be a normal USB cable, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Well, it'll be what's called an A to B cable.
So that's the key. Make sure you get the right
cable.
You
may have one. So go ahead and look.
You might.
Yeah, you never know. I have a drawer full of garbage.
Yeah, we all do. We all do.
We all do. Hey, thank you so much.
You got it, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So yeah, wired always works. IP addresses, conflicts, similar story. Let's go on to Kate in Suffield next. What's going on, Kate?
You'll forgive me. My voice isn't very good this morning.
It's okay.
I just converted to the fiber line.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
And I had... Previously, I had a DSL line, and I also had the DNS, and I had a landline.
Okay.
I no longer can get on the computer, and my landline is not working.
Correct. So when they sold that to you, they didn't warn you that was going to happen?
No, they said, and it's actually... I'm not at my house right now, so I can't check anything. But no, they said that they could the landline would work. And when I was there with them, I did get the landline seemed to work. I didn't call anybody and use it, but.
So you didn't test it when they were there?
Pardon?
You didn't test it when they were there putting it in?
No, I did not.
That's okay.
Somebody else was helping me.
Yeah. It looks like there's a configuration you're missing to get that landline working. If they promised it would still work, because they should be able to emulate your landline, depending on how it's connected, though. You may have to have them come back out.
How about the DSL line?
That's gone, thankfully.
You don't want DSL.
No,
No.
You've gone to fiber, which is a good thing for speed and performance. The DSL line is old copper, and they want to get you off the copper because those systems are going away anyways. So you need to have them come back and get that landline they promised you working as part of their service.
What would they have to do in case the person that comes doesn't know what to do?
Well, it's a sad day if you got to tell them that, but it does feel that way these days, doesn't it, Kate? You should be simply saying, I was promised a landline for my phone and it no longer works. And when they set that up for the service call with whoever you're using, they should be able to bring that out. There's nothing else you should be able to have to tell them to make that work. That's on them.
If the cell towers go out, when there's a power outage, does that also kill the landline now?
So no, the fiber is a different service than cell service. So that's a piece of glass that's coming all the way down your road and then into your home from a different provider than the cell service. So the cell service now, because of the storm that was like 10 years ago now, the October snowstorm, a lot of the cell towers now have generation backup. So they've figured that out. So you shouldn't have that issue to worry about, but they're not connected. The fiber service is a different service than your cell service. And just so you know, the old phone lines are going away anyways. So it's not like you're going to be able to keep it anyways. Even if you decided, I want my old phone line back, they're not going to work anymore.
Well... I was the only one in my neighborhood that people could access a phone.
Right. During that issue, right? During the old October snowstorm. Right. I know. And you were a hero. They thought you were a hero, Kate. But that those days have hopefully moved forward, and you're not going to have to worry about that. We'll worry about something else that they screwed up, but not that.
Okay. Now, is DNS still?
We don't know what DNS is. Both of us are asking you, what is
well,
that?
Well, I wonder if... What if there's a DNS problem with her computer because it's looking for a connection to a router she doesn't have anymore now that she's had the DSL pulled.
Yeah. When you say that, what do you mean, Kate?
The DNS was the protector. That was recommended by you several years ago.
Oh, OpenDNS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on your computer if you've left it on the computer, but you have to maybe reconfigure it for your new router.
Okay.
That'll be
okay.
some work. Do you have a 15-year-old kid in the neighborhood?
No, but I have a couple of children who are very savvy.
There you go. Tell them ask them to reconfigure your OpenDNS on your computer because that is a very good security protocol, and I'm glad you ran it.
Can you put the instructions?
They are there.
They are there, but we can repost.
Yeah, they're all there for you, but we'll put it again. All right, Kate?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Get those guys out there to give you your line.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, the key when it comes to IT, and this happens in our business all the time too, you got to test your stuff after the geek is there or while the geek is there. Don't let them leave until you've tested it. It happens in our business too. Hey, test all your software.
I recently got different internet service, and that the guy didn't leave until I was happy.
Exactly.
Make and sure everything connected.
It. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we appreciate your contributions you'll be making to our Social Security and taxes and... Thank you so much. It's not going to be there for you, but that's not my problem. That's yours. Be careful who you vote for. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Rika in West Hartford next. What's going on, Rika?
Yes, whenever I put computer on, I get a Chrome is not responding, you know, all the time.
Every time you turn it on?
Yeah, when I go in a Google Chrome.
Yeah.
They said Chrome is not responding, you know.
So every time. I would tell you to use a different browser then. You've given them enough chances. Download Firefox and see if you get a similar response. Have you tried that?
No, I don't. How to try Firefox? I have to buy something?
No. You can download Mozilla Firefox. There's other browsers than just Chrome. And you can also try the built-in Edge browser on your...
that is there. That is there, you know.
Does that work?
I try, but it is slow, you know. It is slow also.
Slow?
So, yeah.
So you may have issues with your machine. If Edge is slow and Chrome is not responding, how old is your computer, Rika?
5 to 7 years old, you know.
Say that again?
5 to 7 years.
5 to 7? All right. It's getting there. It's getting up there. But if it's not responding, you know, all I can think of is you don't have enough resources or you have a problem with Chrome. You could uninstall it and reinstall it. Have you tried that?
No, I have not tried. And I don't know how to install it and reinstall. I don't know the steps, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Adding and removing programs is pretty simple in Windows. We can put a link with instructions as to how to add and remove programs. And you'd be able to choose the Chrome application and remove it, and then putting it on again, maybe that would help. But it sounds to me like your machine's a little underpowered for it to not be responding.
How can I get a link?
Well, sadly, you got to go and bring up your Edge browser because that's the one that is responding, although it's slow. And you go to computertalkwithtab.com, and the information will be there for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Rika.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So not responding Chrome. I don't know. 7-year-old computer.
and the other symptom of Edge being slow.
Yeah, it's a lot
pointing to hardware, yeah.
Kind of is. All right, we're going to Adam in East Hartford with a global political question for us here. What's going on, Adam? Adam, you there?
First, thanks for always taking my call. And I know it's best if I have a question directly related to the problem.
Yeah.
And but, you know, and I know it's not the political show. You need it for Reese on the radio and when Shattuck was on the radio. But I got to ask you this. I went on AI because I've been arguing with friends that didn't want to go to war with China over Taiwan. But I was just curious how devastating it would be, and I want to get your opinion. They said on AI that regardless if we defended them or not, that if China invades Taiwan due to us depending on so much on microchips and maybe the world too, that it would be devastating economically and maybe politically. What would be your opinion?
I don't know if my pay grade goes high enough to make it have an opinion on it. Obviously, we don't want that to happen. I would contend we'll still get plenty of microchips. It'll just be they'll be Chinese made versus Taiwanese made. I it would be bad news probably, but it's I think they're more connected than we think anyways.
I just offer an insight?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
China, as in the PRC, depends on chips from Taiwan almost as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
They get them through a roundabout sales channel, actually multiple roundabout sales channels.
Yeah.
But they are getting some of those chips from there too. They don't want that shut down. So assuming that they do attack, take over, there's no way that they're not going to let the factories keep running and keep selling the chips. It's not in their best interest to do that.
Right.
So,
you know, we don't want any more wars, so let's just hope nobody decides to do any of that stuff right now. We get some stability. But
now, I love the show. I listen every week. But I wanted to ask, though, do we make enough microchips in Silicon Valley or not quite?
We need to do more of that. There was a CHIPS Act that came out a while back to try to promote that. More of that.
There is very little, if any, silicon actually being made in Silicon Valley anymore. Yeah.
So that needs to change. Unfortunately. That needs to change.
Yep. So. All right, gentlemen, I'll keep listening to the show and have a great day. All
you
right?
too. I wish we had more insights than that, but we're just a couple of computer geeks. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I mean, we just don't have geopolitical insights when it comes to war bad generally.
I can't. Well, that's true. I mean, anytime there's a war anywhere, it's going to be bad for somebody.
If we can avoid it, that's what we should do. We do appreciate you guys calling in on this lovely Saturday morning. It's a rare, lovely Saturday in Connecticut that we've been getting over the springtime, so we appreciate you guys doing that. Everything we talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com. And if you're like Betty, you should be considering an app to listen to your stuff. It's a lot more reliable if you want to not deal with any kind of losses of signal. I mean, even on the HD2 signal, every now and again, it goes out for me. I love listening to the AM on the FM side. It's a much richer sound, but there's dead spots where it just goes away. So the app would give you the best way to actually listen to the station or any station anywhere. I mean, I listen to Tampa station at home on the app, right? Listen to what's going on down there and pretend I'm at the beach when I'm not. So check that out. Of course, you can subscribe to the app over at Odyssey, and you can subscribe to our podcast that way as well if you missed a show. We want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at the Facebook page and on X for us, because without him doing that, you know, we'd be trying to do like one arm paper hangers, right? Couldn't do it.
As I've said before, without Mike G, smoking crater.
Exactly. He helps us a lot.
He does.
He really does. So everything, and we post all the articles as well over to Computer Talk with Tab, if I already didn't say it. So, but again, we thank you guys, because over the past 30 years, you have brought us lots to think about and answer questions. So you guys really make the show, because having Dennis and I talk about my kids and his cats is not good radio.
No, not in any way.
And so we appreciate you guys the most, because you make this show happen, and it keeps us on our toes. We never know what you're going to ask us ever. We have no clue. And a lot of the times we're doing our best to figure out what the answer is, because sometimes we haven't even heard the problem before.
Right.
So you keep us... keep us thinking, and we appreciate that very much. We want to thank Carolyn, too, for producing, as always. And we're going to see you guys next Saturday. So
remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
Yeah. So tune in Check us out. We'll talk to you later.